Today I would like to speak about Yom Kippur, and we have time until noon and tomorrow, so let's go. And I need your help. Please open the scriptures and be with me in the scriptures today, because we'll go together. Leviticus chapter 23 from the verse 27. The 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a secret assembly and deny yourselves, and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do not work on the day, because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. This is the day of Yom Kippur. It's today. Day of Atonement is the holiest day of the religious year. Yom means day in Hebrew, and Kippur comes from a root that means to atone. Once a year, on Yom Kippur, a high priest entered into the holy place to seek God's forgiveness for the sins of Israel and for the sins of all nations. And today I would like to speak about Yeshua in Yom Kippur. Last week, one place in the book of Acts captured my attention when I thought about Yom Kippur, about these days, and it really touched my heart. And I want to read it and share it with you. The Acts chapter 6 from the verse 7. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem greatly multiplied it. Even a great number of the Kahanim were becoming obedient to the faith. Who knows Kahanim, what it means? Of course, we are the Messianic congregation. We need to know. Priests. Why that was so important for the Lord to put this place here? And is it important for us today? Great number of Kahanim. Let's say together, great number. It's specifically here the Lord put this place for us. And I would like to briefly review a few historical details here. And I believe it's important for us. Who were the Kahanim? The Kahanim were priests whose theology and entire ministry was built around service within the temple. Their life, their ministry, everything were in temple. And the most important part of the temple ministry was the system of temple sacrifices around that built upon the Torah. So this was most important part of the temple. It was the part of the sacrifices in the temple. It's very important to remember. This is very important to note, because many of them came to faith in Yeshua. Many of the Kahanim, the priests, came to Yeshua. Why? Because they understood he was fulfilling the prophecies relating to the temple ministry and in Tanakh. He was fulfilling these prophetic words from the Lord. They were not Amharets, people of the land. They were Torah scholars, Kahanim, priests. They knew the Torah. Therefore, as temple priests submitting their lives to Yeshua, they were seen by Jewish believers on that day as a great testimony and surely as a great encouragement for them in the time. It was testimony for all believers during the time. This was the confirmation for the believers that prophecies were true, and Yom Kippur and Pesach and rest of the biblical holidays were talking about the Messiah, who was Yeshua. Great number of priests came to knowledge of the Lord. It's a beautiful place of scripture. I would like to discover Yeshua in two different parts today. First, in the Jewish traditions and history of Yom Kippur, and second, as told in the scriptures. So let's look at the tradition and history, and let's go there. It's very interesting for me. First of all, in the second temple, there was no Ark of the Covenant. In its place, according to history, was the foundation stone, Evan Hashtiyeh. We can find this information in Talmud and some historical literature, or if you like shortcuts, you can find in another Jewish literature in Wikipedia. I don't believe that Talmud is inspired by the Lord, but it has some very specific historical facts there. And I like these facts specifically about Yom Kippur. In the Mishnah, Tractate Yoma, it is said that this stone has existed since the first prophets. When the ark had been taken away, there was a stone from the time of the first prophets, Shtiyah Foundation, it was called. It's in Tractate Yoma 5. So this is the historical literature about the second temple and what was there. And I'm really blessed to read the Matthew chapter 21. And if you can, please open with me, because it's so, so important here. Chapter 21, the verse from the 42. Yeshua said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, this has become the chief cornerstone. This came from Adonai, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Yeshua quoted a passage from the Psalms 118, from the verse 22. Even Masu Abonim Gaita Lerosh Pina, the stone which builders rejected, this has become the chief cornerstone. It is from Adonai. This is the next verse. It is from Adonai. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that Adonai has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 25. Hashiana, Hazen, please, Adonai, save us. We beseech you, Adonai, prosper us. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of Adonai. Do you remember what words the people of Israel said to Yeshua when he entered the Jerusalem on Pesach? Hosanna. Hosanna, this psalm. Messianic psalm about coming Messiah, about Yeshua, about him. When Yeshua entered in Jerusalem on Passover, people of Israel worshipped him with this same psalm, because this is the Messianic psalm. They found Messiah in him. And let's read Matthew 21 and a little bit later, 45. When the ruling Kahanim and Pharisees heard Yeshua's parables, they realized he was talking about them. And I want to say here, because it's my opinion, but I want to share it with you. I think it's very important to share this. Basically, he was talking to the priests and Pharisees there at the time. He told them, "You are bringing a holy blood of sacrifice once a year on Yom Kippur into Holy of Holies and sprinkle it on the stone in the temple, Hashtiyah. I am that stone, the cornerstone." Wow. He told them, "You are bringing your prayers and sacrifices once a year on the holiest day of the year with fear and trembling, and it is to me you are bringing these sacrifices." It was so obvious. So obvious. Can you imagine prophetic meaning contained in those words? Can you imagine how those words made the priests feel? They heard, "I am the stone." The next verse, you can imagine because it's here. They were trying to seize him immediately. The first reaction, they were trying to kill him. Why? This is the same reaction they had when Yeshua said, "I am that I am." When he said, "I am that I am," they took the stones. The same reaction. Why? Because here he was saying basically the same thing. The same thing. I am this stone. You're worshiping to me. And the miracle part is after some time, the same priests were submitting their lives to the Messiah. This is the miracle part. They recognized him as the Messiah. They saw the prophecies in him. It's a beautiful picture. It's in tradition. Another, this is, I believe, great testimony for all of us. Great number of priests came to knowledge of Yeshua, the Messiah. Great testimony for us. And if you remember, where was the place where first believers met together? In Jerusalem, in the temple. And many of them, they were priests who recognized Yeshua as the Messiah, as a Yom Kippur, as a Pesach. Beautiful, beautiful. Another interesting tradition on Yom Kippur, and I want to read it here. Two goats were brought to the temple, and one chosen by casting of lots to be sacrificed there as a sin offering for all Israel. A red ribbon was tied to the temple gate and another around the horns of the other goat, now called the scapegoat. The sins of Israel were confessed and symbolically placed upon the back of the scapegoat, which according to scripture was then led away and let loose in the wilderness. And what's interesting, we can find in the history, the red ribbon tied to the temple gate miraculously changed its color from red to white. This was a sign from the Lord for forgiveness in accordance with the words of the prophet Isaiah chapter 1. In the Talmud, said here in the Rosh Hashanah, that when the tape is turned white, people were happy. It's obvious why. Forgiveness, mercy, one more year of life. And of course, it said here, when it did not change its color, they grieved. It's no question why. And the next, I like this place. In the Talmud Yoma, we can read this most amazing development. 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the red tape is not turned white. Western light ceased to glow. Doors of the sanctuary, temple gate, opened themselves. It's in the Talmud, in the history of Jewish people. What happened 40 years before the destruction of the temple? Temple was destroyed in the 70 AD. 70 minus 40, we have 30. And I want to read here, Matthew 27, from the verse 50. And Yeshua cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was split in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split apart. Yeshua was crucified at that time. The curtain in the temple was split in two from the top to bottom. The Lord split it for us. He made the way for us. He opened the gates for all of us. The Holy of Holies now is for every one of us here, through the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah. And guess what? From the day forth, the ribbon on the temple gate no longer turned from red to white because the sacrificial scapegoat could not longer carry away the sins of Israel. Only the sacrificial blood of Yeshua had the power to atone for sin. Amen. So, and second part. And now the second part, let's find in scriptures what Yeshua and what the scripture says about Yeshua in Yom Kippur. And let's go there. I want to read from the Hebrews 9:22. beautiful place of scripture, so important for all of us, for every Messianic believer. 9:22 Hebrews. And nearly everything is purified in blood, according to the Torah. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Let's say together, there is no forgiveness. This is a statement from the scriptures. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And I have a question. What does it mean no in English? What a dilemma for Israel. Apart from shedding the blood at the temple, there is no forgiveness, according to the Torah, to the scriptures. The ribbon no longer turns white. The animal sacrifice is ineffective. Soon, even the temple will be gone. How can atonement ever be made again for sin without temple, without blood, without sacrifice? How is possible? And today, the majority of Jewish people do not have an answer for this question. Majority of Jewish people doesn't have answer. And simply ignore this simple question. Why have the temple sacrifices ceased? Why? Why it's happened? The entire Torah is based on the system of temple sacrifice. Without blood, there can be no forgiveness. This is the truth from the Torah. All the scriptures, starting with the Passover lamb, and ending on the Yom Kippur sacrifices, explains that to us. It is so important to remember. In ancient Israel, when the high priest laid his hands on the scapegoat and confessed his sins and sins of all Israel, there was no question as to why he was doing it. Everyone knew, because the Torah says that the blood cleansed the soul. In the Leviticus 17:11, in Torah, book of Leviticus, for the life of creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Let's say together, it is the blood, I have given it to you. Why? To make atonement. Where? In the temple. Atonement in the temple for your soul. Today, fortunately, replacement system have been developed to replace the blood atonement, the commandments, the temple. They rely on doing good works and on following other man-made traditions. And one of the fine examples of this is the kaparot on Yom Kippur. Who knows about kaparot? When the people swing the killed chicken as if it is able to take away the sins of the people. Doesn't matter how many chicken you will kill, it does not cleanse the blood of the people. But I think it's age of blossom, because you could not do that. It's not about the chicken, it's about the blood of the sacrifice. Blood of redemption. We must firmly understand that commandments invented by man and the traditions of our people do not abolish the Torah. And I have the main question here. Would God have made such a requirement and then for 2,000 years left us with no way to make atonement? No hope of redemption, no possibility of forgiveness. Is it our God? No. And we as a Messianic believer, we have an answer for this question. The temple sacrifices ceased because there is now a better sacrifice. In fact, a perfect sacrifice for each of us. The holy sacrifice who redeemed us once and for all eternity. In the Hebrews chapter 9, the verse 12 says about Yeshua the Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, our hope, our Redeemer. He entered into the holies once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Our Messiah, our Yeshua, our Redeemer, our Savior, with his own blood. So if you have not placed your faith in Yeshua, our eternal high priest, if you are wandering through life without his love, without his forgiveness, if you're still trying to redeem yourself, you also face a huge dilemma. But there is an answer, and it is available to you today. Redemption is available through the Messiah, Redeemer, Yeshua. And the time is right. The time is now to accept his sacrifice, to turn to him, and to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior of your life. This is the time. Yom Kippur is the best day of the year because it speaks about Yeshua the Messiah so clearly from tradition point of view, from the Torah, from the prophets, from any point of view. Everything goes to Yeshua the Messiah. Accept the Lord on his term. Receive his forgiveness and his shalom. And for all of us who are already believers, I would like to repeat the same words I gave you on Rosh Hashanah. The same. And for all who believe in Yeshua, during this day, this judgment day, Yom Kippur, when people around you may be living in fear and uncertainty, remember this. If you have made Shuva, have turned around, have accepted Yeshua's redemption, then you have eternal life, forgiveness, mercy, and love of the Lord. Because he loves you so much. And I want to end my message with the short words of prayer. And if you never, never, never accepted Yeshua as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't experienced yet Yom Kippur in your life, I want to repeat, chicken is not an option for you. It's not an option. It's getting you far away from the Lord. It's replacement from the truth. Why? Because truth is in Yeshua, who died for you, who shed his blood, who willingly gave his life for you, because he loves you so much. And his term is to accept him as the Messiah, as the Lord of your life. I want to pray. And if you never pray this prayer, pray it with me. Invite the Lord in your life. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the day of Yom Kippur. Thank you for the day of redemption. Lord, I'm the sinner, Lord. I need your forgiveness, Lord. I don't have a way without you, Lord. I know it, Lord. Please forgive me. And I accept Yeshua as the Lord and Messiah of my life. And I thank you, Lord, for your Son, for eternal life, and for the Holy Spirit. I pray to you, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Amen.